The Stars win the Stanley Cup. Brett Hull and the Dallas Stars are Stanley Cup champions finally tonight.
Oh my goodness, do we all remember that greatness? Do we remember that great call? And do we remember the greatness of my man joining us right now on 103.3 FM ESPN is my man Ralph Strangis. Hello, Ralphie.
Alf, my friend, how are you?
I am fantastic. How are you?
Well, puzzled. It's for the NBA, it's the finals, right?
Yeah.
And for the NHL, it's the final.
Yeah, I know.
We could almost do a segment on that, couldn't we?
Yeah, well, why is that, Ralph?
I don't know.
I mean, was somebody in the spelling bee and they decided to add the S for the hell of it?
Yeah, I don't know. It's the final. It's the NHL. It's the Stanley Cup final series. And it's the NBA finals. So I guess it's just sort of, I think both are fine, but you sort of adopt whatever you adopt. And the thing is then you need buy-in from everybody. So it's sort of like I think there was a time in the NHL when we used to say, even in the conference final, we'd say finals. But there's been sort of this movement and this wave. And in fact, even when I did the Western Conference final for Westwood One NBC Radio, there was, before we even started, the producer looked and said, now remember, it's final, right? And I went, yeah, I got it. like maybe, you know, the guys in the studio sometimes, you know, it's funny. So I, listening to Taylor give that Sports Center update there, he was good. But it's like finals for the NBA and final. Huh. All right, finally we're through that.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're listening to the great voice, the goodness and the greatness of my man Ralph Strangis is here joining us on 103.3 FM ESPN. Ralphie, we heard that call, the great. Can you take us back a little bit to that game and that ending and what that was like?
Well, it was late.
Slightly.
I remember, too, and it's funny because some of the behind-the-curtain stuff is when you get to that point in the playoffs, and it happened because it benefited me this time because I was working for Westwood One NBC Radio, NHL Radio, is the visiting radio gets just screwed, right? So they put them in the farthest position down in the press box, and national radio gets a better spot. So, for example, in Buffalo in 99, we were just about on the goal line on the other side when Hull scored at the other end of the ice.
Oh, my.
And way up high. So, and all you want is a clean one. You know, you just want, you know, you're just saying, just let me see it. You know, I want a wrist shot from the circle. I want, you know, like just something smooth and clean and I can call it and all of that stuff. And it was anything but, you know, it was kind of a scrambly play out of the corner. It got centered. It got chopped at. And, you know, I'm looking because I knew it was a little bit messy. And you can hear Razor jump in and go, score, you know. And because it was hard to see it. And so I, you know, I think part of it was it was sort of surreal that they actually scored. And then there was all the kerfuffle afterwards about, you know, Hull's.
The crease
Hull's
and all that crap.
The crease and all that stuff. But, you know, Buffalo scored one goal in the final nine periods in that series. You're not going to win. You're not going to beat that team. Dallas was really loaded that year. Like we were far and away the best team in the league that year by any metric. And Dominik Hasek was just kept that team in there, and you could do that, you know. So, you know, goalies can do that, as we've seen. So, yeah, it was really fun. The funnest part was riding home on the plane afterwards, coming back with that same group that you traveled with all year, you know, and that you had sort of forged these relationships with over a long period of time. And
was the cup on the flight?
Oh, yeah, the cup.
Oh, well, there you go.
Joe Nordyke had the Conn Smythe trophy, and he's like, hey, and he called me brother all the time. He still calls me brother. Hey, brother, can you stick this under your seat? I don't have room in mine. So I had the Conn Smythe trophy, the MVP trophy, sitting on the floor. So, yeah, it was really fun. Like, those were great, great fun days. with, you know, with a really, really good team. And that was, you know, you don't really get those sort of perennial contenders anymore. You do a little bit, but not quite as much. I mean, Washington's there, but, you know, now that they've gotten past Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh, of course. But, you know, you see a lot more sort of shuffling of the deck and more parity. So, you know, we knew we had a good team. We knew we were going to be in it, and it was really fun.
Speaking with Ralph Strangis, the great voice, former voice of the Dallas Stars, who is on the Mark Elfman Show this morning. I'm thrilled to have Ralph with us here. And Ralph has had, Ralphie, I love you, and you have had a year and a half of unbelievable stuff. I mean, going back to North Texas and going to college and getting the degree. Okay, you did that, and I'm proud of you. That's great. But I want to talk about the other stuff. You did the Winter Olympics hockey. Tell me about that experience.
Actually, I've had 57 years of unbelievable stuff.
Oh, that's true. That's good.
Yeah, but it's been, you know, people look, and it ain't easy doing this. You know, it ain't easy being Ralph. I don't know what people think, but it's, you know, it can get a little hectic. No, it was really a fun year. You know, last year, I had sort of walked away from it and wasn't sure if I ever wanted to do hockey again. And then, like, the phone just started ringing, which was weird. Last year, the L.A. Kings thing. And so, you know, I was only scheduled to do four games. And then Bob Miller, my friend, who was their play-by-play guy, had a stroke, a light stroke. And so I finished the season for the Kings. I wound up doing about a third of the L.A. Kings season on TV. And then this year, again, I wasn't looking really actively for anything. And I got a call from my friends at Westwood One NHL Radio that I had done NBC Radio 2, you know, that I had done games for over the years. And it's such a prestigious thing to be called by them because, you know, I have, like you, you know, we're old sportscaster guys. We remember the old school guys. And when you talk about, you know, guys like Scully and Jack Buck and you know, and everybody who's worked over the years for Harry Callis and, you know, for Westwood One, you know, this is a legacy kind of a product. And you have to be good at it. You know, you have to be a pretty well-trained, hard school, call every pass, play-by-play guy. And the other thing that helped me, of course, was everybody else was working, right? So all the NHL guys, because the players weren't going over, were all working. And so they called me and they said, you know, there's not a very long list of guys who can do hockey that are available. And so, you know, that we know and trust. So, you know, do you want to go to Pyeongchang? So, yeah. So I went to Pyeongchang and I did, you know, I don't remember the exact count, probably 10 games there and lived in the village. And, you know, it was kind of a weird tournament because the NHL guys weren't there. It's not as good. But it was fun, and the Russians were fun. And the women's game that I got to call.
Yeah.
That was really fun. And, you know, we've had a lot of this anthem talk lately. But I'll tell you, one of the really moving things that was fun about the Olympics was they don't play anthems before the game, because why? But when they do the gold medal game ceremony, they do it at the hockey rink after the game. So they're not going to the pavilion or whatever it is. So they bring all the medals out and they hang the flags and they, you know, right after the game, and they play the Star Spangled Banner, and the women's hockey team was all linked arm in arm and swaying back and forth, and, you know, and the U.S. flag was on top. Like, that was really powerful and really moving. And so that was probably my most, you know, my biggest memory from doing the Olympics. And then, you know, I did some outdoor games for NHL International, and then Westwood One called me again, and I did a lot of playoff games. So you know, I thought I was done with hockey. I was out, and they pulled me back in. And so I'm actively looking to get back in.
All right, let's get to this. Ralph Strangis joining us here on the Mark Elfman Show, 103.3 FM, ESPN. You know, the Olympics, the outdoor hockey, you know, all that good stuff. And I remember when I saw it was a text from you or a tweet, and you just were like, Vegas. And you're calling the Vegas series before the Stanley Cup final against Washington.
Oh, yeah. Final. Yeah, right. It was the Western Conference final.
And I know you've been to Vegas before, but you were kind of like, this is Vegas. Tell us about this whole Vegas. What has happened with this hockey team, expansion hockey team, and what's going on there? They're going crazy.
Well, it's so weird, you know, and so surreal, because I, over the years, the first place I go when the season ended was Vegas. So, you know, I used to go sometimes I go for like a week and a half.
Did you check my mail at the Bally's, by the way?
Yeah, I did. I did. Yeah, they have a couple of garments for you too. Okay.
I left my bathrobe. I'm sorry.
Yeah. They got that all worked out. I don't want to go anymore.
Okay, never mind.
But it was so I go every year after the playoffs were over, after we were done, and I'd go spend a week and a half there, and I'd play golf, and I'd I do what you do in Vegas. You know, I'm not a drinker, and you know, I gamble less than I used to, and you know, I kind of know how to do the trip, and I just loved going to Vegas, and it never occurred to me all those years, not once did I think, oh, I'm going to be walking through here one day on my way to calling a Stanley Cup playoff game. You know, like, for sure Vegas is going to get a team, and for sure I'm going to be calling it, you know. And it was so I think the interesting thing is it's sort of two worlds existing at once, where the building is on the Strip, T-Mobile's on the Strip, and all the hotels and all the, you know, excess and debauchery and beautifulness and pretty people and all the stuff is going on the Strip. And yet the people who live in Las Vegas and who work in Las Vegas are all, you know, blue collar service workers, construction workers, housekeepers, bartenders, you know, go down the list. I mean, they got to keep all these hotels running smooth, and they never had anything really to call their own. And so they have to come to the Strip, which is kind of weird, right?
Yeah.
To celebrate what it is that's theirs, but they do. And so in the midst of all this stuff that you usually see as you're walking down the street in Vegas, which is, you know, showgirls waiting to charge you to take their picture with them, and people dressed like Darth Vader, and women who, you know, are wearing whatever they're wearing, and guys who are wearing shorts that they shouldn't be wearing, and, you know, all the things that you see, and walking around with the huge, you know, guzzling, you know, 4-foot-tall margarita things, you know, and then there's all these people wearing Vegas Golden Knights jerseys, and all the hotel staff every game day from every hotel I was in, they all were wearing Vegas Golden Knights stuff. And so, you know, you'd walk through this crowd of, you know, people who are really excited, the locals who are really excited about going to the hockey game, and the tourists who don't really understand what's going on. So it was really weird, but then inside the building, you know, it's like, it's insane. And, you know, the pre-show is wonderful. It's the medieval times thing, and people think it's hokey, but it's great. It's just great. And then they've got this team that has a collective, we want to shove it up all our ex-employers' rear ends, you know, as far as we can. And you know, it's been a really wonderful thing to watch. It's the NHL in Las Vegas at the most important time of the year. So it's exactly what you might imagine or dream about if you're thinking about it.
I tell you, and the funny thing is, and we're going to take a pause for the cause in a second, and then we'll continue with Ralph before we finish up this morning. But as great as this Vegas thing is with the hockey team being there, Ralph, wait till the Raiders get there.
Oh, I know.
Oh, my God.
I know. And that's going to be, but it's going to be different, too, because
that's going to be away from the Strip, right?
Yeah, it is. Well, I think so. But it's also, you know, think about the NFL is, the NFL is in their heyday, and, you know, really, really moving fast. And there's only 8 events of significance every year at home, right?
Right.
So, you know, you only have 8 home games. And so, yeah, they'll love it. Yeah, it'll be great. Yeah, it'll be, you know, but I think this sort of, you know, when you've got a hockey team or a baseball team or a basketball team that's playing every 2 or 3 days, you know, and to kind of get a little rhythm to it, it can be a little bit different. So I think that the NHL, of course, their players are so good about getting out there. And I think the team, and especially because of, the shootings in October, which, you know, were so tragic and so horrific, and the team kind of helped the city with that. I think they have a bond that's going to be tough for the NFL to duplicate going in. It'll be good, but it'll be different.
Interesting stuff for sure. All right, the great Ralph Strangis is joining us here on the Mark Elfbein Show, 103.3 FM, ESPN. All right, coming up next, we'll find out what Ralphie's doing next. And do you want to play the sports athlete game?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, we'll do that next with Ralph Strangis.
103.3 FM, ESPN. Hey, Tim Kalishaw here. Don't miss the show Monday as we see how LeBron James and the Cavs try to bounce back against Durant and Curry in Game 2 in Oakland. All that and a whole lot more on deck. Dennis and Kalishaw, Monday from 3 to 6 on your radio home for the NBA Finals, 103.3 FM, ESPN.
Steve Dennis here for Texans Can Academies. The Can Academies help thousands of kids finish high school each year, and they've been doing that for more than 30 years because of your donations. I'm asking you to donate that old vehicle. You'll get the best tax deduction, and they'll throw in a pair of Rangers tickets or a $50 Visa gift card as a special thank you. They have a new website, so listen up. Go to TexansCanCars.com. That's TexansCanCars.com today. Remember, right off the car, not the kid.
All right, quick show of hands. Who's going on vacation this summer? Next question, do you snore? If you do, you're going to be the least favored person on that vacation. Why? Because you're going to wake up your friends and family in the hotel room every night. That's no fun for anybody. Steve Dennis here. I used to be that guy. I decided to go to Simple Sleep Services, and I found out, actually, that I have sleep apnea. Instead of surgery or wearing that big, bulky CPAP mask, I got a custom-fit mouthpiece that I put in right before I go to bed every night. Once I did that, absolutely no more snoring. 19 straight months now. It is the game changer of my life, and it can be for you, too. Put an end to your snoring. Enjoy your vacation, and your loved ones will enjoy you a little more, too. Offices in Dallas and Fort Worth, here's the number, 469-685-1700, or go to simplesleepservices.com. No CPAP, no surgery, no implants, and no more waking everybody up on vacation. It's just Simple Sleep.
Listen to the Automotive Edge, now heard Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 on ESPN Radio 103.3 FM ESPN with Kurt Chase. Before you set foot into the whirling chaos known as the car buying experience, you need to talk to Kurt, the man with over 25 years experience in the car industry. From modern to muscle, he has all the info you need on buying and selling a car. Listen to the Automotive Edge with Kurt Chase online at theautomotiveedge.com. And now, Saturday mornings at 9 on 103.3 FM ESPN. ESPN Radio's all-new afternoon show, DAC, with Steve Dennis and Tim Kalishaw. Afternoons 3 to 6 on 103.3 FM ESPN.
Will you just taste the soup? All right, I'll taste the soup. Where's the spoon?
Aha! Aha!
And I'm sure Mr. Pastolka will not forget the night that he spent on national television in the ring with Sergeant Slaughter, and you are watching it right now as it is happening. Sergeant Slaughter, Parris Island, South Carolina. He knows how to get the job done.
Seventh power play of the game. They are 1-for-6. They scored on their first and have come up empty on their last five. Pavelski in their top unit out there. Cody Eakin will take the draw to Marc-Andre Fleury's right early in the second overtime. Shark control. Here's Burns, top of the slot. Gave it over to LeBanc, right circle. LeBanc all the way over. Shot Couture. He scores! Logan Couture from the left circle. He buries it. Fleury couldn't get over. And the San Jose Sharks on the power play have tied this best of seven series at one game apiece. They win it 4-3 in overtime.
Ah, yes, indeed. The voice of Ralph Strangis, who continues to join me here on the Mark Elfenbein Show. Get that man a gig. How's that?
Hey, thanks, man. I'll give you a cut. I'll give you a bird dog. I'll give you a bird dog.
Okay, so you and I spoke the other day.
That was a pretty good call, by the way.
That was a great call. I like the wrestling call. Did you like that?
Yeah, Slaughter. Yeah, that's the Wayback Machine, dude. That's going on 30 years, man.
Okay, so you and I, we were talking the other day, and, you know, when I saw you tweet something, I'm like, oh, no, I got to call Ralph. And yes. And you said,
and
Elf, you just said, hey, Elf, I got the bug. And I said, talk to me, Ralphie. So tell me what's going on. What can we do to help?
What can you do to help?
Yeah. Dr. Elfenbein is here.
Be supportive.
I'm here.
Understand that this is a, you know, anybody who has come up, a play-by-play guy who has come up, you know, through the ranks, you know, done his time, put in the work, all that stuff. We're all good at this. You know, I mean, some guys are, you know, and then you've got people who think one guy's better, one guy's worse, and some people love Doc Emrick, some people don't like Doc. You know, but anybody who gets to this level you know, as a play-by-play guy, is generally really good at it. And so, and then it becomes, okay, so, you know, where's the opening? And in the NHL, there are so few openings, and they almost never open. You know, it's tough. So, and yet my skills are so specific. You know, like, I do a lot of things pretty well, but the more I do this, and then I was listening back to a lot of those calls, the happier I got with my own performance and how much I could hear, how much I liked it, and how much I did like it when I was doing it. And so, you know, I think one of the things that was sort of missing here in the last year or so is, you know, teams were unaware that I was actually interested in getting back in. You know, I talked to the LA Kings, and they, you know, they went another route. They hired a really good young play-by-play guy, Alex Faust. Alex and I are friends. It's a good hire for the Kings. You know, Vegas, I talked to Vegas, too, last year. And I thought that would have been a decent fit. But, they hired some really good guys in Vegas. And there's really good guys out there, you know. And so to identify a place where, where they're missing a play-by-play guy, or they're, looking to make a change or whatever it is really tough. So, you know, there's some movement every year. There's usually a couple of jobs. So I'm getting some help with that. I've got some people that, are going to personally, help me, represent me, and try and identify the opportunities and then go after them. I'm very philosophical about this. You know, if something comes up that fits, I'll go take it. I like calling games. I'm really good at calling games. I have respect.
No, for, you're great at calling games, Ralph.
Well, I like it. I really like it. And and I think after a while it got, is this all I'm going to do? And then after I've done a bunch more stuff, and after I got back into this, and like I say, I didn't call for any of these jobs I've had the last 2 years, and they just called me.
Well, that's got to tell you something right there.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm trying to read the signs, man. And I'm interested in getting back with any team in the NHL, any team who believes that I could help them and that I could improve their broadcast, or that they have a need to fill. So, you know, somebody's going to retire, somebody's going to go, or they want to shift something around. I'm in. But again, those are hard to find. And so on we go. So,
you know, Ralph, we could do a podcast to talk about it.
You only if there's money in it.
Only Ralph and I know. Oh, my goodness. The great Ralph Shade is here on the Mark Elfenbein Show. All right, real quickly, we got about 5 or 6 minutes left. Let's play the sports game, because I know you are the biggest Minnesota Viking fan on earth. So I was dying to see who you might have in this. So
One of them.
Who is your favorite athlete in the NFL all time?
I did this the other day on Twitter, and I'm going to stay with it. Randy Moss.
Oh, wow. Okay. Very good.
Yep. Yeah. Moss was such an electric player when he came in. And, I think he was another one of those guys that people tagged, you know, whatever. But he came to play. He wanted to win. I always thought he changed the game. I mean, the NFC Central Division drafted differently because of Randy Moss. You know, they started to get bigger corners and, you know, on the other teams to defend him. And, you know, he really was sort of a game changer. And he, like Chris Carter, who was, you know, I would say is probably 1B, are guys that had to play with a lot of different quarterbacks and a lot of different systems on some subpar teams and still put up unbelievable numbers. I mean, listen, nothing against Jerry Rice, but you got Joe Montana and Steve Young throwing the ball in the screws every week for 15 years, you know, like, in an offense designed to get you the ball. These guys had Sean Salisbury and Warren Moon. I mean, you go down the list.
Yeah.
And so it was, you know, I really enjoyed watching both of those two play. So NFL, Moss 1A, Carter 1B.
I thought you were going to say Chuck Foreman, but that's another story.
Well, Chuck Foreman,
give me your NHL guy. That's what I want to hear. Who was your favorite hockey player?
Sergei Zubov.
Oh, there you go. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard for me because a lot of these guys are so close. I mean, Mike and I go back 25 years or more. You know, Yuri's the same thing. Yuri and Joe Neuendijk are two of my best friends in hockey, and they're spectacular players. But to me, and I think part of this too is nobody's worried about giving Mike and Yuri their due, but Sergei Zubov has to be in the Hall of Fame. And every time I see people, I saw Pierre McGuire during the playoffs, and I said, and Pierre's now on the selection committee. And I said, Pierre, you're going to be the guy who gets Zuboff into the Hall of Fame. And I know he's a fan. And so I'm always banging that drum. I wore 56 on my puck drop night with the Stars.
Oh, there you go.
That's for my boy Zuby. So, yeah, so Zuby.
All right, we'll sneak in baseball.
Well, I was not a huge Twins fan growing up. I would say if I was, it would have been like Rod Carew or, maybe Harmon Killebrew. These names that people... Killebrew had one of the greatest lines ever when he said, I ain't making much contact, but I'm sure swinging good. But I have become a big Texas Rangers fan and a huge Adrian Beltre fan.
Oh, there you go.
My favorite baseball player of all time is Adrian Beltre.
All right. Sport that Ralph and I both love, boxing.
Well, this was tricky for me because as much as Ali is sort of a no-brainer, I really liked Mike Tyson. I really liked watching, even though they were short and brutal and all of that stuff, when Tyson was in his heyday, there was nothing else ever like him in the history of the sport, I don't think. That was just so purely dominant and brutal and savage. And, I still every now and then will YouTube Mike Tyson, knockouts. And it's unbelievable, yeah. Right?
It was must-see TV.
I'd say the champ for sure, and then right behind him, Tyson.
Okay. And then finally, since we heard an old call, I figure what the hell. Wrestling. Who is your favorite wrestler growing up?
Well, I'm going to say Vern Gagne. And the reason is because Vern was an Olympic wrestler, Minnesota guy who started the AWA and who made it possible, really, for wrestling to come into the main. And I worked for Vern at the very end. I was the last play-by-play guy for the AWA. And Vern had everybody. A lot of those guys were from Minneapolis. Ventura was from Minneapolis, and Hogan was from Minneapolis, and Ric Flair's from Minneapolis area. And, so all those guys worked for Vern. And so to me, and because of my relationship with him, and I was just looking through some stuff the other day, I have a signed photograph to ringside Ralph from Vern Gagne. So, wow. Vern to me is the father of professional wrestling, and I he's my guy.
All right. My guy, just for the heck of it, was Wahoo McDaniel.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, my goodness. Ralph Strangis, my man, my good friend. Listen, I thank you so much, as always. Let's get together and grab a bite soon. And I'm going to help you on your campaign. Whatever the hell Mark Elfman can do, I'm in.
Thanks. We'll get a bagel and schmear and kick it around.
I love it. Ralph, stay well, my friend. Okay.
Thank you, too, buddy.
All right, that's the great Ralph Strangis joining us here on the Mark Elfman Show, 103.3 FM ESPN.